It's headquartered there in Fredericksburg with the Calvary Chapel Fredericksburg. And Tom Price, the editor, I've known him for years. Kind of a crazy story. I met him in Germany. You know, you hang out in the States with people supposedly and go, you know, overseas to meet him. But we met like in 2000 in Germany and have been close. And you guys know he did an article on me a year ago in the paper or in the magazine. So I get to the retreat, I get to the men's retreat, and he says, "Hey, Pat, come over here, I want to talk to you." And I thought I was going to get scolded. Usually when people ask me to step aside, it's not good. And so, you know, so I went over, and here's what he wants to do. He wants to do our church in the next issue. So how cool is that? So here's the deal. They're going to be doing some photography work, so don't get distracted by that, as people are going to take pictures and bring a bunch of people this weekend to church. So that'll be, you know, they can get their picture taken, and we'll maybe do some selfies and get involved with that, okay? So anyway, be praying for that. Pray that, you know, that we can get that done and get, Tom never like says, "Hey, I want to do one in, you know, 6 months." It's like, "I want it, we want it now, we need to get the pictures, we need to get it done, we need to get the writing done," and it's like, take a breath. So pray that that happens, okay? So kind of good stuff, huh? Good to be home. Hey, and do pray, Ron Hint, he's shared here a lot. His wife went to be with the Lord Sunday. So pray for Ron and, you know, the ministry there. I know he's hurting and it's hard, you know, it's just, but he's got family close by and he's got a great church. So pray for them. I'm going to try and fly out Sunday and fly back Monday. I want to go be with him. So the memorial's Monday. Okay? All right. Are you guys ready? This is like... You know what? You know what I caught myself doing at this retreat? We'll get to Bible study eventually. I caught myself like I'm teaching and I said, "This is like my favorite verse." And then I would teach for a while and they go, "This is like my favorite verse." And some of the guys came up and go, "Do you know how many times you said that during that message?" And I go, "They're all my favorite verses." So, and this is like my favorite story, right? Isn't this one? Everybody knows this story, right? You guys, do you guys know where we're at? Some of them are going, We're doing David the Giant Slayer, right? So, woohoo, yeah. So, you know, it's a very familiar one, which makes it sometimes hard to teach on, but we'll get through it, right? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to open your word, Lord, and we know that we're blessed because we have this facility to come to. We're able to get out of the weather, and now, God, we're able to open your word, and how blessed we are. And I do pray that as we look at this, that, Lord, yeah, it's familiar. It's probably one of the most known stories in the Bible. And God, sometimes that can create a little bit of just messing up in our hearts. We kind of think we know it and we don't pay attention or we kind of aren't there. And Lord, I pray tonight that wouldn't be the case. Lord, that we'd listen to what you say in your word. It would impact our lives. And God, that we would all become giant slayers. We'd all be like David. And Lord, we'd have that faith in you, God, that's unyielding. And a faith in you, Lord, that there's nothing too difficult for you, God. So bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, again, as we saw last week, remember David was called and anointed king, and we went over that. Now, I know there's some confusion because in this chapter, it sounds like Saul doesn't know him. In the last chapter, Saul knew him, and some people go, "What's the deal?" A couple things could be going on. Number one, 16 is kind of like, again, remember I talk about the broad view of things going on, and then 17 and stuff are some details. Or it simply could be that David was there, but he wasn't, you know, continually, we'll see, he wasn't continually with Saul. He was kind of in and out. And, you know, sometimes people come in your life and then they go away and then you kind of forget them, right? Any of you do that? Or you don't learn their names. Sometimes you pastor a church and people, like, don't tell you their names and then they expect you to know their names. You see them out in the community and they go, "Hi, Pastor Pat, you know me, don't you?" "Yeah, I do, you know, I was gonna, you know what? I gotta tell you guys this story. This is great. This is good. Just popped in my head. I go to Calvary Chapel Fredericksburg Wednesday night, and I got there late because it was raining and roads were falling in holes and stuff, and you kind of had to, you know, zig around and stuff. And so I get to the church late, and I decided not to go in and interrupt the service because I'm polite. And just a little hint there. You know, when the pastor's teaching, you don't go in, right, and disrupt everything. So I stayed out in the foyer, and they don't have speakers out there. So I had to put my ear on the door. But this first lady that comes out, Pastor Pat, and she gives me a big hug. So I'm thinking, I know you. And I'm thinking, I don't know you. And, you know, maybe it was because I did the pottery presentation there when we did the article, and I thought maybe it's from that. And she goes, man, we miss Calvary Chapel Sierra Vista so much. Oh, really? So, and then she says this. This is where it really got difficult. I sure hope she's not listening tonight. But then she said this. She goes, Pastor Pat, when you came here a year ago to do the pottery thing and I came up and talked to you and you didn't remember me, it broke my heart. And now I'm not going to tell her I don't remember her now. That is not coming out of my lips, right? But then she said this, and this is for some of you. Not all of you, but some of you. Here's what she said. She goes, you know why it broke my heart? And I said, yeah, because I forgot you. I get it. Don't rub it in, you know. And she goes, no, it broke my heart because we didn't get involved enough in the church so that you would know us. And she goes, and I went to Pastor Mark and I told him, you're going to know me when I leave this church. So a little word for some of you. So now, why did we get off on that story? David, somehow David, right? So anyway, that was like, so let's come back. It was something about David and David. Oh, I know David being before Saul and him not knowing his name, right? So sometimes that happens, right? So don't get freaked out. Some people read chapter 17, they get all freaked out. And here's what happens when you do that. You get freaked out about the things that really don't matter, and you miss what God is trying to teach you and God is trying to say to you. So don't get all freaked out, like, how come Saul didn't know him? How come he didn't know his name? How come they weren't? I thought he played the harp for him. I thought he was close. Well, you know, I think that was going on. But then again, he was in and out. Maybe he'd go play the harp once every 4 years, right? So, okay, so we good on that? And the other story kind of fit in, right? Yeah, sure it did. That's what some of you are saying. Rita, her name's Rita, by the way. Rita did that. I just thought I'd tell you. And her husband's name's John, and he works for the Border Patrol, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got all the info now, man. I see him, and I'm... Verse 1, here we go. I think it's time to pray, and no, I'm kidding. Verse 1, listen. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and were gathered together at Soko, which belonged to Judah, and they encamped between Soko and Azekim in Ephes Demim. So, you guys know where that is, right? It's in the Elah Valley. Okay, they'll tell us that in a minute. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with the valley in between them. Now, here's what's interesting. If you go way back and remember in the beginning of Samuel, the people wanted, right? They told Samuel, we want a king. And one of the main reasons they wanted a king was so that they could be like other nations. And check this out. So they could beat up the Philistines. That is so not working, right? And here's what we need to remember. There may be things going on in our lives that are coming against us, and we got to be careful that we don't go the way of the world to try and get those things. We got to trust God. And we got to realize that, you know what? Even though it may not be going the way we think it should be going, that God's in control and we can trust Him. And that we can put our faith in Him. And listen, I think one of the important things that I learned from David, and I'm probably going to say Daniel more than David because I just thought on Daniel, but so you guys remind me, right? Like, raise your hand if I say Daniel. But listen, the thing we get about David here is David had childlike faith. Listen carefully. Jesus tells us, have childlike faith. Listen, not childish faith. That's foolishness. childlike faith. And what's childlike faith? It's that trust that's unyielding, right? And that trust that doesn't have to have all the answers and everything, you know, every question. They just trust. And here's what's going on. Israel didn't have that. So Israel decided, we want a king, and we want to get this king, and we want our king to look like, you know, some great guy. So we want a big king, and we want everybody to be afraid. And so now they got their king, and what's going on? They're still having war with the Philistines. Is that nuts or what? And that's usually what happens in our life, right? We go the way of the world, and we try and do it, and what happens? We're still in trouble. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times we're in deeper trouble, right? We're like way down in a hole. So listen, they're doing this. And then the part I like about this is I think this is a good way to fight wars. I wish we'd fight wars like this today. Let's forget about all the, you know, technology we have and all the things. Let's each line up on a mountain, come together, and see who wins. You get some negotiations done really quick when you got to get face to face. And especially I like the idea that world leaders, you know, our leader fights your leader, and whoever wins is subject, you know, subjects the others to himself. And let the two leaders fight it out. Surely they're going to come up with a resolution, right? That they're going to stick to. So they're lined up. Here's what's going on. They're lined up. And then one of the longest descriptions of any individual in the Bible. Kind of interesting, huh? This is, again, and more details about this guy than most other people in the Bible. And it says, and a champion, verse 4, went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about 9'9". It's a pretty big guy, huh? Like, I'm on this platform, so I'm 5'9", I think. Maybe 5'8", I don't know, but in that general. And this is like 3 foot, so now I'm like 8-something. If you guys come up here, I just kick you in the face, and I win, right? So he's this big. I mean, that's pretty big, isn't it? Oh, he's a foot bigger than this. Have you ever hung out, like, with NBA people? Yeah, all of us do all the time, right? We all got courtside seats, right? We hang out but have you ever been, like, traveling where there's some NBA people and you look at them? Man, you get close. Listen, on TV and, you know, even if you're up in the, you know, the cheap seats where most of us are, you look down, they look kind of normal. You get close to those guys, it's like they're huge, right? They're these big old guys. I was in an airport one time and a whole NBA team goes by, man, and I'm going, I saw a guy leaning on a phone booth like this. Some of you have to Google that, you know. But he's sitting there leaning on a phone booth like this. I'm thinking, dude, that's big, huh? Well, they weren't this big. They weren't as big as Goliath. So you got this guy. And if you remember in Joshua, we were introduced to the Anakim. They were the giants. Well, even earlier, but especially in Joshua, they talked about them. And when they went and spied out the land, remember? Remember the other spies, the 10 spies? Woo, those guys are big. We're scared. And Joshua and Caleb go, no big deal, man. We can take them. Why? Because we got a bigger God. So listen, they're still around. So that's Goliath. Then we're not done. So that's how big he is. Then verse 5 said he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels. So his armor weighed about 125 pounds. That'd be kind of tough to carry around, wouldn't it? Unless you're 9'9". That's not a big deal, right? And it kind of fits and it works. And then check this out. And he had a bronze, on verse 6, and he had bronze armor on his leg and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. So that 600 shekels, that's about 15 pounds. Think of the end of your spear is 15 pounds. That's a lot of weight, right? So you get the idea. This guy is huge above huge, extremely frightening, and he's got all this armor on, and you got this guy walking out, this humongous guy coming out, and here's what he would say every day. He'd come out to Israel in the Elah Valley. Some of us were just in the Elah Valley, right? Some of you took rocks from the Elah Valley. Hopefully you brought them tonight. We might need them. Listen. And so you go out, and it's this huge valley, but I can't imagine this guy in that valley. And it says in verse 8, then he stood and he cried he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Wow. Now here's the crazy thing. This guy did this for 40 days. Every day. He went out. I don't think he was being a bully. I think he's just being real. Why did Israel want a king? So they could win. So they wouldn't be subjected to anybody. And do you remember when they picked their king? You remember why they picked their king? Remember? He was a head and shoulder bigger than everybody else. They got a big guy. But their big guy isn't a big guy next to this big guy. And this big guy comes out and challenges them. Now, you know, I got a couple questions. Number one, what's up with Saul? Saul was a fighter. Why isn't he going? Why isn't he being a little spunky and going out there? And how about this one? Where's Jonathan? Remember a couple chapters ago, Jonathan climbed up that cliff? He climbed up a cliff and then beat up all those people within an acre, killed 250 men within, you know, an acre. That's huge. Surely if you can do that, you can whip a giant, right? Jonathan, I don't know if he's absent. I don't know if he didn't, like, get a school pass that day or something and, you know, had to stay behind. I don't know what's going on. Jonathan's not going out and Saul's not going out. Here's what I think. If your two main guys aren't going out, nobody else is going to go out, right? If you're going to be a leader of people, you got to lead the people. You got to go out and do it. You got to go for it. So listen, there's this obvious absence from them. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Wow, that's a bummer, isn't it? Dismayed and greatly afraid. Here's what I think. Sometimes when we're afraid, fear can work for us, can't it? Fear can drive us. Sometimes it works against us and it's our biggest enemy, but it can also work for us. Because I believe with all my heart, we're going to read in a minute, I believe with all my heart when David went out there, I think David was like shaken. Come on, man, you're meeting a guy like that? You'd be scared. Yeah, you got faith in God, but sometimes you need like God with skin on, right? It'd be a little scary. So listen, now here's my favorite part of my favorite story. Well, one of my favorite parts. I love this part. Verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man was old and advanced in years in the days of Saul. And the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle are Eliah, the firstborn, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So you get the idea, he didn't live with Saul, he didn't stay with Saul. He would go there sometimes, play his harp, and come back. He's back and forth and in and out. And verse 16, the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp." So obviously you had to kind of have your own provisions, right? You're out to war, but they didn't have the provisions. Dad sent them. And then I love this part of this. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000. 10 cheeses. That's like, I love that word. I think I mentioned it just a couple weeks ago. Isn't that great? Cheeses. Go take some cheeses to your brothers. Now, one reason I like it is it just sounds great. Cheeses. Most people say cheese, right? Take the cheese, but these 10 cheeses. Wonder what kind of cheeses the cheeses were. Now, what do you think for a moment? Let's stop and pause for a moment. you're David, you're the youngest. If any of you are the youngest, the little brother, not fun. I was a little brother. It's not fun, man. Big brothers are turkeys. We should start a little brothers club. But listen, you're the little guy, you're the last guy. His brothers don't like him much. And your dad comes up with this great plan. There's a huge war going on, and here's what your dad says. Take the provisions and these 10 cheeses and take them to your brothers. That doesn't sound very cool. Doesn't sound very like, I'm going to go beat some guys up. What are you doing? I'm taking cheeses to my brothers. Is that all you're good for? Yeah, I tend sheep and take cheeses to my brothers, and I play the harp. Kind of interesting, huh? What a great resume. You're going to hire this guy to be a giant slayer, right? That's the guy I want to slay giants. The guy who carries 10 cheeses, plays a harp, and 10 sheep. Isn't God awesome? Like, there's zero resume here going on, right? Are you getting my point? And then you probably aren't real thrilled about going there because, you know, like, I got to go see those brothers, and those brothers are jerks, and they're not nice to me, and maybe I'll eat their cheeses on the way, and I'll just get some loaves of bread and this other junk I have. So here's what's great. Listen, his dad tells him to do it. Verse 19, it says, now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. Well, that's kind of a question mark, right? They weren't really fighting with the Philistines. They were having a little bit of a standoff. So David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. That's an important verse, isn't it? What did he do? He got up in the morning and he was obedient. Listen, you want to do great things for God? You want to slay a giant? Got to carry some cheeses. You know what I'm talking about? You got to be faithful in the little things. And check out what he does, the very first thing he does, because I think that's important. What's the very first thing David did? He got someone to take care of the sheep, didn't he? He didn't just leave the sheep. He got someone to take care of the sheep. He got a keeper for the sheep. Then he took the stuff his dad gave him, and he's faithful in that little thing. Most of us would think, that's stupid, man. Get somebody else. Well, you got a servant. Get a servant to take this stuff. I don't want to take these cheeses. I don't want to walk up there. I want to go see them. If I go up there, they're going to beat me up. They're going to make fun of me. They always make fun of me. My older brothers are always picking on me. They're always going to make fun of me. Let someone else do it. No, what does David do? He gets up. Dad wants me to do this. I'm going to do it. So here's what I learned from David, number one. Be faithful in what God puts in front of you. Quit trying to look down the road 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. Or I know some of us don't have that long, but you know, just quit trying to do that and just be faithful in what is in front of you. God does not expect us to look way down. Here's what God wants to do. I put this in front of you, do it. Do this and do it well and take care of it. So here goes David. Listen, and here's an important thing. David's not read the rest of this. I know I say that a lot, but he doesn't know. This isn't like the most familiar story in David's time. Now it's probably the most familiar story in our time, right? Everybody uses it. Even secular people talk about David and Goliath. But David hasn't read this. This is real for him. This isn't a child story that you say in Sunday school. This is a real deal. So he takes off with the cheeses and the other stuff, and now I'll quit. And he came to the camp as the army in the middle of verse 20 was going out to fight, well, not really fight, and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. So here's David. He drops his stuff off, and then he wants to go out and see the fighting, right? He's a young guy. Woohoo! I want to go out there and see what's going on, right? There's something cool going on. Maybe I'll see something, you know, and somebody do something, although they're not going to do anything. And he greeted his brothers. Notice that. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. So David heard him throw down a challenge, right? Anybody going to come out here? You're going to come out here? You're going to fight? You know, and David's listening to that. By the way, so was everybody else. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So you got, listen, you got soldiers who are running. And you're this shepherd boy who plays a harp and carries cheeses. And you're like watching them and you're, I don't know about you guys, but I might have ran with them, right? Kind of a heavy thing. They run. And so, listen, verse 25, so the men of Israel, or I'm sorry, and all the men, when they saw him, they ran and dreadfully afraid. Verse 25, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Kind of keep that in mind. So the IRS is going to give the dad a pass, right? Kind of got that? But keep it in mind. I'm not just saying that for a joke. Keep that in mind because it'll come up later and I think it'll kind of explain something towards the end. Then David spoke with the men who stood by him saying, what? Like David's going, what? What? What are you talking about? What's going to be done, right? Kind of getting what's going on. David's saying, what do you mean someone's going to get all this stuff? That's bottom line. He says, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes this reproach? Notice what he says, takes this reproach away from Israel. Notice what's going on in David's heart. David doesn't see things like everybody else sees things. What does the Bible tell us about David? He's a man after God's heart. David doesn't see like everybody else sees. Here's what he sees. This guy's bringing reproach to Israel. This is not good. He's not just a big bully out there. He's not somebody who's going to beat us up. Here's what this guy is doing. He's doing some WWE SmackDown talking about our God, and we need to do something about it, right? David's going, what's going on here? Why are you listening to this guy? What's going to be done? What's going to be done to the guy who takes this guy out? So listen, David's wanting to know. And then he says, check this out. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Here's what David, who is this guy? And I think they're all going, dude, did you see him? Right? What does David see? Here's what David sees. David sees somebody that's coming against God. Not against David. Not so much against Israel. He's coming against God. And what does David know? Maybe David read the book of Revelation. I don't know. But what does he know? My God always wins. This guy's talking about my God. And he's doing it, yeah, in a roundabout way. But also, maybe he's also thinking, I'm a shepherd. This guy's a predator on these sheep. Oh, yeah, they're men, but they're sheep, aren't they? They're God's sheep. This is what his heart, so maybe that resume isn't so bad after all, is it? Maybe the shepherd thing is kind of a good thing to have in this particular situation. So listen, David's looking at him, and I just love that. Who's this uncircumcised guy? Why are you guys all freaking out? Verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness, and where are your cheeses? And I know your pride, and I know your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You know what? The first time you step out to do something for God, there's always going to be somebody there to discourage you. They have the gift of discouragement. You know, Barnabas, Saul's companion in the book of Acts, his name meant encourager, right? The one who encourages. So, and he had the gift of encouragement. Some of us, I call us Sarnabases. And Sarnabases have the gift of discouragement. And every time you want to do something, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? What are you doing here, you little punk? Where are those sheep and cheeses? How come you're out here? And listen, and then you're just telling you're not going to get anything done. You guys know because you're laughing because people do that, don't they? And you're stepping out, you're going, woohoo, I'm going to serve God. Oh, you so can't do that. What is the matter with you? Who are you going to listen to? Well, we all want to listen to God, but it's kind of hard when you got this like stereo going on here. I remember one time we were going to go to Israel and a guy came up to me and he goes, I'm telling you, you're not supposed to go. And I go, really? He said, yeah. I was having some medical issues, and here's what he said. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank you for putting a brick on my back. Right? And he named all these things, and I go, I don't know. Something you need to know about me. Like, I'm not a great strategist. I don't like sit and figure things out. People accuse me of that all the time. Man, you figure things and you do things. I so don't. Like, he's asking me these questions. It hadn't even crossed my mind. Now it had, right? Why did you say? So I said, I don't know, but I'm going to Israel. Because I believe that's what God wants me to do. He wants me to take these people to Israel. Do you know I got to Israel and every single thing he mentioned happened to me? Every single thing, down, every single one. I ended up in an emergency room in Israel, you know, and things going on. And I'm thinking, when I get back, I'm going to shoot that guy, number one. First thing I'm going to do. But you know what? God got us through all that. And he always does, doesn't he? And you got these discouragers, and they just want to put bricks on your back. And, man, they don't want to help you. They want to put bricks on your back. Someone told me a long time ago when I first went into ministry, and they ended up being a Sardis. This is a crazy thing. They came up to me, and here's what they said. They said, Pat, never be afraid of in the dark what God has shown you in the light. That's powerful. And they shared that with me. And then this guy turns on me and comes against me. And you know what's ringing in my ears? Don't be afraid of in the dark what God's showing you in the light. Hey, you know, way back when David was handed those cheeses, he saw a time of faithfulness, and now his brother's going, don't do it. David's going to do it, isn't he? Listen, so now, not only that, others are coming against him. Listen, so his brother comes against him, then verse 29, and David said, what have I done now, and is there not a cause? Why are you picking on me? Why are you doing this? And there's something that needs to, here's what he's telling his brother, somebody needs to do something, bro, you know, right? And then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. So again, he turns and he goes, now what's going to happen to the guy that beats up that giant? Because here's what David's thinking. I'm going to go beat up that giant. Now what do I get? I get a wife. My dad gets tax exemption from the IRS. You know, we get these, okay, you know, all I want to do is go beat up a giant that's making fun of God. But hey, a little bit of reward in the meantime, that's fine, right? So David's all stoked and ready to go. And I think he's still young. We don't know how old he is in this story. We know in the last one he was like 15. Maybe he's still 15. But remember, he was ruddy, kind of a little guy going. And so then, listen, verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Because here's what David's doing. I'm going to beat up a giant today. I just feel like today I got to take that giant out. So they go tell Saul. Now, here's a great thing, man. Then you have these kind of people in your life, right? You want to go serve God. You've made up your mind. You kind of defeat that first little, you know, discouragement that comes your way. By the way, it'll keep coming and coming and coming and coming. Then after you've been in ministry for like 25 years, they really heap on the discouragement. And it comes and it comes and it comes. And people just want to discourage you. They're so great. And something good happens and people go, well, that wasn't from God, you know, and then you get that. So I'm venting a little bit. But anyway, look. Look, and then David's getting ready. Now you get the next person who comes along, and they're not very helpful either. Check out this person. So Saul gets all the information, you know, wants to know who this is. And then in verse 31, now when the words which David were spoke, they heard and they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of that giant. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now, I think you got to get a picture in your mind. Here is a veteran warrior. And here is, let's say for all intents and purposes, an 18-year-old kid. Not very big. You got this seasoned veteran warrior. He's going, what's up, kid? And he goes, it's real simple. I'm going to go kill that giant. Really? You? Isn't that crazy? Listen, we think of this as some little kid's story. Can you kind of get in the drama of what's going on here? Here's what I know. Saul and company had to be completely, completely terrified of what was going down. And they have to be the place where they know there's no other hope. You're not going to put your hope in some kid. Well, we'll read about him in a minute. But you kind of get the idea. He's looking in front of him. He says, hey, I'm going to go kill this guy. Okay? Saul says to David, excuse me, sonny. Aren't you the Jesus guy? He didn't say that. Had to throw that in there. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him because you ain't big enough, and he's a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, listen, there's some more discouragement, huh? Ain't going to happen, man. You're going to lose. What are you thinking? You're out of your mind. You're so out of your league. You can't handle this. Why on earth would you try and do this? Well, because I got a really big God and you don't. Really, you're going to do it? You're going to go for it? He says, it just isn't going to work. You can't do that. David said, listen, verse 34, David said, listen. He goes, I used to keep, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took out a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it. And I struck it and I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, he says, I caught it by its beard and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Now check this out. Once again, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Not a problem. He's looking, everybody else is looking at Goliath and they're going, look how big he is. And they're terrified. Here's what David's thinking. I can't miss that target. Right? Look how big that is. I can't miss that, man. You guys are insane. Look at, he's huge. And he goes, and I beat up. Now, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? I beat up a lion and a bear. What'd you do? Well, I grabbed him by his beard and punched him out, man. That's what I do. He's kind of a rough little guy, wasn't he? I don't know about any of you, but I've never wrestled a lion or a bear. I'm thinking, you're an insane shepherd, man, is what you are. And he goes, yeah, I can do that in this uncircumcised Philistine. I love that part, don't you? Because here's what he realizes. He doesn't have a God. I got God. I got the God of the universe on my side. He ain't got nothing. And so I'm not worried about him. I don't know why you guys are so scared of him. He's just a Philistine. He's a huge target. We got it made. So listen, he kind of talks his way out of that. So it's sort of good, right? And then Saul said to David at the end of that, he says, you know, he will deliver me from the, I'm sorry, in verse 37, moreover, David said, check this out, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Here's what David said. I didn't beat up the lion or the bear. God did. And you know, that's something you and I need to remember when we're going through a tough time. Remember the things that God has done in your life. And remember the faithfulness he's shown to you. And here's what you do. If I can kill a lion and a bear because it wasn't me, it was God. God delivered me out of their hands. This Philistine's no different. And so then Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Thanks, bro. You know, it's always good. Here, you go first. By the way, big brothers do that to little brothers when they're in real trouble. I just thought I'd throw that out there. My brother, sometimes we got in a couple pickles and he'd go, you go first. And then after they run over you, then they'll be tired and I'll take care of them. So listen, he says, you go and the Lord be with you, 38. So Saul clothed David. Check out what he does. He clothed him with his armor and he put on his bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and he tried to walk around and it tested them. And David said to Saul, this ain't going to work, bro. Listen, he put all this stuff on him. And isn't that, you know what the world tries to do? Doesn't the devil come to us and try and get us to fight the battles the world's way? You know that never works, right? We know that. And sometimes we fall into that trap. David's got this stuff. Whenever I read this section, I get a picture. You know how you get pictures sometimes when kids are little and they put on like their dad's pants and they're like dragging behind them and they're walking like they're big? And that's how I get David with this stuff. He's like, you know, and he's going, this stuff is junk, man. It's the best fighting machine they have, right? It's the best weapons made. It's like, you know, the technology is great. He's got all this stuff, and David's like walking around and creaking around, and he goes, man, this is not going to work for me. At the end of verse 39, he says, I can't even walk in this stuff, much less fight, for I've not tested them. So David took them off. David goes, that's not going to work. I'm not going to fight the ways of the world. I got a huge target, and here's what I know I'm good with, right? We know what's coming, huh? Here's what David says. Get rid of all that. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Here's what David said. I know what I'm good with. And you know what? A lot of us would do well to listen to David right here. Because you know what? There's a lot of us, we try and do it with somebody else's gifts. And we try and put on that stuff. Hey, that stuff fits Saul perfectly. And that was good for Saul. It wasn't good for David. And sometimes in the body of Christ, I see people doing that. And I'm thinking, why don't you use what God has given you? Use the gift that God has given you. And do that well. And here's what he does. He picks up 5 stones. You know why he got 5 stones, don't you? It's not because he was afraid he was going to miss with the first one. Here's what he knows. You miss once, you're dead meat. Why did he get 5 stones? Because Goliath had 4 brothers. And you know the story, right? You beat up one brother, the others come, right? You're going to have to take them all out. So David's just preparing for the future. Once I take him out, I know the others. And guess what? They were all giants. I read ahead. So listen, he's ready, he's prepared, and he gets his sling, and he uses what God has given him and how God has gifted him. And you know, would to God that we would be more committed to that than what we really are as believers. Because we see somebody doing something, we go, well, that's cool, and we kind of get jealous, and we want to do that, whatever that is. And God has not even called us close to that. And we try and plug ourselves in that. We so don't fit. It's like walking around with all this armor on. And we mess things up and we make a bigger mess than if we would have just not done anything. So do what God has given you to do. Man, if you can sling stones, then sling some stones. Hey, if you can put that armor on and use it right, then put it on and use it right. But do what's in front of you and use what God has put in your hands. Once again, too many of us, we think, well, I would serve God if he'd give me a rocket launcher. Well, all he's going to give is a slingshot. Well, then I'm not going to serve him. Use what's in your hand and go for it. So listen, this little guy goes out. I love this part. This is like my favorite part. Verse 41, so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by the gods. Oh, that's a really good thing to do, huh? You got a little guy, really tick him off. Right? And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, dude, great minds think alike. Listen to what he says. He says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. Here's what he's saying. Let's bring it on, right? Because here's what he's telling him. All you got's weapons. Here's what I got, God. Woohoo, huh? Man, I love this. And he says, and I'm going to take your head off, bro. That is insanity, isn't it? Listen, and then here's what he does. And this day, check out at the end of verse 46. And this day, I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth, listen, all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Here's what David's fighting for. He's not fighting for David, and he's not fighting for Israel. Who's he fighting for? God. And he goes, here's what I'm out here doing. I want everybody to know there's a God of Israel. And if it takes knocking you down, I'm going to knock you down. Because the world needs to know tonight for them, or today, that there is a God in Israel. Woohoo! Don't you love this guy? That is childlike faith. What do you have? A sling and a stone. What does he have? He's all covered with armor. He's got swords. He's even got a guy in front of him that's bigger than you that's carrying his stuff. And he goes, I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air. And David goes, yeah, well, great minds think alike, because I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air, bro. It's coming down to that. Now, this is, listen, again, we read it, and I don't know if we get the full impact. Can you imagine the two armies on either end? Can you imagine a Philistine army going, look at that moron out there. What is the matter? That's the Jesus guy, right? What's the matter with them? And the Israel army's going, oh, no. Maybe they were already practicing being slaves, huh? Well, they were already slaves. They're slaves to their own fear. They didn't trust God. So, man, I get this picture. The most of it, we know what happens, right? In verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank in his forehead, fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine, and he killed them, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Listen, David took care of it. Now, he's not done, because here's what David knows. You got to get rid of this permanently. This is like sin in our life, right? You sling it, hit it with a stone, knock it down, it's going to get back up. David said, not this time, man. And remember this in your life. So he runs up. Therefore, verse 51, he had no sword. David ran, and he stood over the Philistine. He took the Philistine sword, that great big old sword. He drew it out of its sheath, and he killed him, and he cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that, their champion was dead, they fled. Listen, David is standing there, and he lops this guy's head off with his own sword. Because sometimes you got to keep going. Listen, a lot of us, here's what we do. We get so far and we stop. No, you got to keep going. Take care of it. Get it done. And listen, I'm definitely not telling you to go out and cut people's heads off. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the sin. Annihilate it. Kill it. Cut it off. Take care of it. And David does that. Listen, and then this is great. So the Philistines, they're freaking out. They fled. Verse 52, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Shearim and as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. Here's what, woohoo, woohoo, right? They're all happy. Look what we did. And they're kind of dancing. And then, listen, this is crazy. And David took the head of the Philistine, and he brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Oh. Wow, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because here's a couple things I know. I don't know if David even had a tent, did he? Because he was a Jesus guy. Came from home. And here's what I definitely know. They hadn't conquered Jerusalem yet. So here's what we need to know. That head stayed with David for a long time. It wasn't just, listen, David didn't just cut off his head and let it go. He didn't just cut off his head, run to Jerusalem and put it there, because Jerusalem wasn't part of Israel. That head stayed with David until they conquered Jerusalem, and then he took it to Jerusalem with him. You're kind of getting the point. Listen, this was important for David. And some of us are going, ew, gross. Well, lopping someone's head off is gross. Why did David keep the head? Maybe it's a reminder, right? Do you ever do something or God does something through you and you feel kind of good about it, and then a week later, a month later, a year later, attacks start coming? Have you read the life of David? It didn't end here. There's a guy who chased him around the wilderness for like 5 years, right? That head was important. Listen, I don't think he was a head shrinker. Don't get that. Like he wore it on a chain around his neck. But he kept that head. It's interesting that it's inserted in here that he took that head to Jerusalem. Something to think about. Listen, this was a huge victory. This was for David. This wasn't like just a Bible story. Woo, I beat Goliath. This was the beginning of a life of faith. And he saw God do amazing things with the bear and the lion. He saw him doing something more amazing with the Philistine, with this giant. And he's going to remember it. And he's not going to let it get away from him. Sometimes we need to hang on to those things, especially when it gets hard in our life, especially when it gets difficult, especially when things come against us and those sarnabuses come along, because they're not going to go away. No matter what you do, they're not going to go away. They're going to come along, and you need those, quote, trophies in your life to get you through. Most of us are not going to have physical trophies, but you know what I'm talking about, those spiritual trophies. And you don't let them go, and you don't let anybody rip them off. And then just to kind of wrap it up, when Saul, verse 35, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Whose son is this youth?" Now you might say, why is he asking that? Remember when I told you to pay attention about the IRS? What was the promise? The promise was that the kid's dad, whoever kills this Philistine, his father will be tax exempt. Ah, now it makes a little sense why he's saying, whose son is this? And most of us are going, dude, he should have known he was the harp player. But all he knew was a harp player. Yeah, he knew he was introduced as the son of Jesse, but some of you tell me your parents' names and I don't remember them. Listen, he's going, I got to know. I got to give this guy a tax exemption. We got to send him a letter from the IRS so he doesn't have to, you know, and it's April 15th, close, and he doesn't want to pay his taxes. And so Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul and with the head of the Philistine. You kind of get the idea this kid's walking around like with this thing. Well, I'm not letting go of this, man. Because you know what else that tells me? He was terrified. Listen, he's facing that giant. He didn't go, I know how this ends. I got it made. He had to be terrified because you know what? If you're not terrified, you're not walking by faith. If you're walking by faith, you're terrified because you're trusting God. And it's scary. And you're stepping out and you're doing something that you know is completely impossible for you to do if God doesn't intervene. And that's why it's terrifying. You know that in your own strength, in your own wit, in your own power, you can't do it. And you're going to walk around with that head in your hand for a long time because you're going, I can't believe what just happened. Listen, David didn't say, psh, I expected it all the time, man. He's like on adrenaline, right? He is pumped up. And listen, so he's walking in the tent. What do you got in your hand? Oh, I got Goliath right here, you know. And you're going to let go? No, man. I'm afraid this head will go stick back on that guy and he'll come and get me, you know. I'm hanging on to it. I don't want anything to happen, right? And then listen, and so he's got the head. I just love that part. My favorite verse. Verse 58, and Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? So David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So there we go. A familiar story, right? But isn't it amazing every time you read it? I never get tired of this story. We were just in Israel, just you know, a month or so ago, and we're doing this story. You're in the Elah Valley, and everybody gets rocks, and you know, we even had a sling. Some people tried to throw it, and they hit other people, and it wasn't good. You know, it was like ugly, bad. You know, one went straight up in the air, and I'm going, stop. David was better than this. You're going to slay the wrong person here. So listen, but you never get tired of it. Why? Because this is about God. Not about David. It's about God. And it's about God being faithful to his servants. And here's the crazy, crazy thing. All of us can experience this. Just got to step out. And you got to look at those giants that are in front of you. And here's what you got to know. God's on your side. I don't care how big those giants are. I don't care how ugly they are. I don't care about how terrifying it is. Trust God. And let's be some giant slayers. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for, Lord, we thank you for even a familiar story. One that's been read hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times. And yet, God, it's so truly amazing. It really is about amazing grace. And God, I pray that all of us, Lord, I know that we got a whole bunch of different kinds of giants. All of our giants aren't from Gath and aren't part of that, but we got stuff going on, Lord, that is absolutely overwhelming. That seems like a 9'9" person is sitting on us. And I pray tonight, as we look at those giants, that we'd look at them like David and understand they're just a bigger target. And that we would put our faith in a God who's got so much experience slaying giants. And we'd take whatever you've put in our hand, whatever gift you've given us, whatever abilities you've given us, and we would use those. And God, we would go forward with you, and you would get the honor, you would get the glory, and the people in this world would know that you're the God of Israel, that you're the God of Christians, that you're our God, and we serve you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.